Mr. Schaffner, it is now 10 o'clock. You may convene the meeting.
Okay, thank you, John. I appreciate it. Good morning, everyone. I want to take a minute to tell everyone how much I appreciate you go ahead and take some time out of your busy schedules to attend this morning. Mike, could you remind us of our antitrust agreement, please?
Yes, sir. I'd be glad to do that, Mr. Chairman. I also might point out that before we get into this, that there does appear to be a fair amount of background noise. So if someone is driving or in a public place and you have the opportunity to mute your phone, that might be helpful for us. Mr. Schaffner, would you like us to call the roll to establish formally that we have a quorum before I address the antitrust statement and the conflict disclosure statement?
Yes, please.
Okay. Karen Gard, are you with us today? Michael Garrick.
Here.
Carice Morrison.
Here.
Georgia Neblett.
Here.
Tony Schrader.
Here.
Chandra Franklin Womack.
Here.
Mr. Schaffner, that means that we have a quorum. The only board member not present, at least at this point in the meeting, is Ms. Karen Gard. If you'd like, I could address the antitrust statement and conflict disclosure statement now, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. This is a meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Windstorm Association, and as such, our conflict of interest statement applies. We ask that everyone be mindful of that today. We also have an additional new requirement with respect to disclosures of board meetings. Chapter 2210 of the Texas Insurance Code now requires TWI board members and certain committee members to make public conflict of interest disclosures with respect to matters before any discussion or vote thereon. Such potential conflicts of interest include a financial or personal interest in an entity that may benefit financially from the outcome of the discussion or vote, and holding an insurance policy issued by the association that may be affected by the discussion or vote. Today's meeting is a meeting of the TWI Board of Directors, whose members are Brian Schaffner, Karen Gard, Michael Garrick, Carice Morrison, Georgia Neblett, Tony Schrader, and Chandra Franklin Womack. Today's meeting agenda includes the following topic TWI staff has determined may have the potential to trigger required disclosures: deliberation and possible action to fill or begin the process to fill the vacant board officer positions of vice chair and secretary treasurer. In connection with the discussion and voting on the foregoing, the following disclosures are hereby made by the board members named below. Brian Schaffner is a licensed insurance agent. Karen Gard is employed by a TWIA member insurer. Georgia Neblett is a TWI policyholder. Michael Garrick is employed by a TWI member insurer that is paid commissions by TWI. Carice Morrison is employed by a TWI member insurer that is affiliated with an agency that is paid commissions by TWIA. If any board member is aware of any other disclosure that needs to be made at this meeting, please speak up. Are there any questions from the board members?
This is Chandra. I'm also a policy holder.
And thank you very much, Ms. Womack. Duly noted. With that settled, Mr. Schaffner, you may now move forward with your agenda, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Again, good morning, everyone. I really appreciate you guys taking the opportunity to, ladies and gentlemen, taking the time to meet with us this morning. I know that this meeting originally was postponed because we were still waiting on some additional items that were going to be, or an additional meeting that was going to be taking place on the actuarial committee meeting. But I felt like it was a great opportunity for us to have a discussion, at least begin the discussions. And if we want to carry those further today, that's fine, just as Mike said, or we can at least start the process of a nomination committee and a process to refill these positions. My main goal here, and I felt like the purpose needed to be, is that we need to be as proactive as we can to go ahead and start the process rather than waiting. My fear was that if we waited until the December board meeting to have these discussions or begin these discussions, that it would carry over into the first part of the following year or to the next board meeting. And I didn't want to blindside everyone and rush through a process with this. I think in our last meeting, Mr. Garrick had brought up a good point about the process and what it is and how it is to determine what the nomination process is. To that point, up to this point, my understanding since I've been on the board is that it's just been, with the thought and the idea that if someone has an interest in a slate of officers or ideas of who should be in those roles or would like to see in those roles, that they would make a nomination to go to put them on there. With all of the developments that have taken place recently and the fact that we have had a resignation, and then we've also had another one of our officers that was not reappointed, again, I just felt like it was better to get in front of this as much as we could and start at least having a conversation about it. So with that, there's no formal agenda here. I think everybody has seen that. You know, I'd like to just have a roundtable discussion and share some thoughts with each other about, what their hopes, intentions, and if there's anyone that has any thoughts or suggestions or nominations that they would like to make, that we would go ahead and go into that. So with that, I'll open it up and open it up to discussion.
Hello, Mr. Schaffner. Mike Perkins again. I just wanted to point out that on our agenda today, we also had set aside time for public comment. And I am here at the offices of TWIA at the location of the meeting for purposes of the notice posting in the Texas Register and elsewhere. And no members of the public are present at our meeting. Therefore, we do not have anyone here who can make public comment.
Okay. Thank you for telling us that, Mike. I really appreciate it. Does anyone have anything they want to start with regarding this?
This is Mike Garrick. I guess the only thing, and it's just a comment, I'm not sure how we would activate it, but it would seem like the officers should have, the makeup should represent coastal representation, inland representation, and industry representation. And I would hope that maybe, I guess I'd open that for discussion. Does anybody disagree or think it should be a different way? But we obviously got to get to some officers. I guess we need to have a pass first. What the next step is.
Mr. Garrick, this is Mike Perkins, and your point is very important. It's well taken. It's also necessary, I think, to point out that there is language in our current plan of operation that addresses this. And okay. I'll share that with the board. I think most of the people on the call probably will recall that at the direction of the Department of Insurance, we did some extensive revisions to the plan of operation and submitted those in 2016 in an effort to modernize the plan and bring it up to the standard of then current law. The Department of Insurance did not take any action on that filing, and so the plan of operation that we have in place today, at least with respect to this issue, is the existing plan from long ago. And so the language is a little bit out of step with our current board structure, but I think it's still instructive. And so I'll just read the paragraph that addresses the executive committee from our plan of operation as follows. An executive committee shall consist of at least three and not more than four of the directors of the association and shall include the chair, the vice chair, and secretary treasurer. At least one director appointed by the commissioner must be elected as an officer. And I'll pause there. At the time this was drafted, the board was comprised of five members that were elected by the companies and four that were appointed by the commissioner. Today, all nine are appointed by the commissioner, but the language persists. Now back to the reading. The board of directors may elect an additional director to be a member of the executive committee for the sole purpose of ensuring the inclusion of at least one insurer, one agent, and one public member on the executive committee. There's additional language in the rule, but I think that's the only part that's relevant to your discussion today.
Okay, then thanks, Mike. I do, now that you said that, I do remember that. So I think we need to follow the plan of operation and have, just like it says, just like Mike has said. So,
Mike, could you say that last part one more time for me? Yes, I'm sorry. You said it's laid out as what now? How? What should the representation
right. In the plan of operation, it says that there must be at least the three officers on the executive committee, and then it says the board.
Right.
It says the board of directors may elect an additional, or it would be a fourth director, to be a member of the executive committee for the sole purpose of ensuring the inclusion of at least one insurer, one agent, and one public member on the executive committee. So I think the upshot is that the plan of operation envisions an executive committee of three people who are the officers of the association. But if it's necessary, in order to have an agent, a public member, and an insurer member on there, the board can add a fourth.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with what concept is with that, and think, obviously if we need to address that going forward as far as a change of language, make it to where it's known that this provision applies to the new structure of how our board makeup is made, instead of where it chose to be back before that change was done, that we go ahead and do whatever we need to do to clean that up. But, I'm with Mike as far as carrying that forward. And also, I think it makes sense, like Mike has said, and I think that's what we've tried to do up to this point, is to have one agent, one company member, and one insurance company representative in those positions. I think we've laid it out as far as geographically as well in the past, but again. I think we need to try to. I think that would keep it more well balanced.
I guess I have a question, Brian, and I just make sure I understand where we're at. You are a licensed agent. Are you a public member or are you an agent member?
Well, I'm a what's called a non-seacoast member, so it means I'm more than 100 miles inland. And not considered a company representative or a coastal representative. So, from that's what my membership to this board is, and how I'm identified on the board.
I guess my question is trying to follow the plan of operation. You are a licensed agent, so are you
right?
As far as the executive committee, are you a role as a agent, or are you a role as a public member? Because if we need a public agent,
personally, I think you could utilize my position either way. I'm happy to serve as the agent member or as
public member?
Yes.
So I guess that being said, then we don't have another agent member. So we're kind of almost have to be the agent member. Then we need a public member and an industry member. And I'm just talking out loud. What does everybody else think?
Mr. Chairman, would you entertain a motion?
Yes.
In keeping with what's been said, I would like to nominate Chandra Womack for vice chair and Corrice Morrison for secretary treasurer.
This is Chandra. I'd like to second that, if I can second myself.
Okay, we've had a motion and a second. I'd like to open it up to discussion and see what if there are any other thoughts or questions with regard to this.
Hey, this is Karen Gard. Can someone just walk through how that fits for all the different members, whether it be industry, agent, coastal, what would that bring us to if we were to move forward with that recommendation?
So I believe Carice is a representative of the company and had just been appointed to fill the role and fill the spot that Debbie King had held. So she would be a company representative, and then Chandra Womack would be, she is a postal member and is a policyholder.
Public member.
A public member, I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Mike Perkins, I think that the motion satisfies the requirements of the plan of operation in that it provides for executive committee membership, which is equivalent to officer status, of one agent, one public member, and one insurer representative. It just so happens that the agent in the mix is also an Inland Public member, but I think that's just incidental. I don't think that's relevant.
Mike, this is Corice Morrison. Just wanted to clarify, this is for a term of 1 year. Is that right?
Well, the way we have historically done it, Ms. Morrison, is that we have annually or approximately annually elected officers. The plan of operation also says that the board shall provide for a rotation of officers at least every 2 years. So our practice has been to elect officers annually, but typically at the first anniversary of an election, we would routinely re-elect the same slate of directors to serve for a second year. And then at the end of the second year, we would have an election where the officers change. The practice over the years has been a rotation where secretary treasurer moves up to vice chair moves up to chair, but that's not a plan of operation requirement. It's just been a custom.
Any other questions or thoughts with regard to the motion? Okay. I'll go ahead and move to a vote. Being no other discussion or no other comments, we have a motion on the floor for Chandra Womack. And I'm sorry, Georgia, could you restate your motion with regard to their titles that you were asking?
Yes, Chandra Womack for vice chair and Corice Morrison for secretary treasurer.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Do we need to do a roll call vote, Mike, since we're on the phone?
Well, Mr. Chairman, why don't you just ask if there are any votes against, and if there are, we'll do a roll call vote to make sure we get the count right.
Okay, are there any in against? Okay, simple enough. Motion passes. And welcome, Chandra and Carice. I really appreciate everyone's willingness to discuss this, and I look forward to working with both of you on the executive committee.
Thank you.
Is there any other discussion that needs to be done, or Mike, is there anything else that we need to visit about or have a discussion on while we're on the phone together?
Mr. Chairman, I believe you have sailed through your agenda in 20 minutes. Congratulations.
Wow. This was, I felt like, going to be at least a little bit longer conversation and might have taken over into the next meeting. So I'm glad we got this going. This is why I wanted to go ahead and do this. So with that said, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. I really appreciate everyone taking the time to visit this morning. I think this gets us back on track with where we need to be in our objectives going forward. And like I said, I look forward to seeing all of you in December. So if we can have a motion to adjourn, we'll go ahead and close the meeting.
So moved.
Then we'll close the meeting, and I appreciate everybody's attendance. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.